you get to the issue of what the quality or standards, technical standards are of the images, you really are giving in to a set of ideological assumptions which are extremely constraining and should be resisted. It's always been a problem with avant-garde and certainly radical oppositional filmmakers that they fall into that trap, that they feel they have to meet accepted professional standards. And in fact, one of the things that happened with documentary in Britain in the 30s was that John Grierson insisted on working with 35mm because 16mm was considered to be inferior and amateur, when in fact it was a lot less expensive and would have allowed for far more effective radical communications. But then Grierson wasn't really interested in radical communications. No, there's always been a problem about understanding that the aesthetics, quote-unquote, a.k.a. quality, of filmmaking norms actually have a profound ideological impact exactly because they constitute a barrier to entry. And what's really interesting at the moment, I do not believe in citizen journalism and all of that stuff because I think it's sort of flash-in-the-pan type stuff, but you do occasionally now get material of absolutely appalling quality being seen because it's the Arab Spring or whatever and somebody's done it on their phone. You know, the fact of the matter is that you can gather images and that you can accept anything above a bare minimum requirement that you can see it and hear it. But what really matters is that you get the structuring of narratives and the representation of evidence right. And the quality of the images in such circumstances beyond these minima is really not that significant. The problem about the technique is that it's transparent. That is to say, most of the audience do not see the professional norms when they are being met. And they do only notice them when they're not. And indeed, for professionals, it can well be the case that when they're not being met, it's a complete and absolute turn-off. And it is certainly reasonable to suppose that when the norms are not being met, they do intrude on the audience's perception. But the fact of the matter is that those norms are, in some sense, above the minima we've been talking about, arbitrary. That you know, you could live with stuff that was a lot less good than was normally required. So, for instance, when the Porter packs first appeared in the 70s and some Americans started to use them as a basis for producing material, they were running whole channels on the cable systems in America. And I remember one of the pioneers of that, a chap called George Stoney, coming and bringing some stuff with him and, you know, some of the radicals who eventually became the community unit of the BBC actually said they wanted to show it on air. And the BBC engineers were absolutely adamant that it wouldn't work, you know, that it wouldn't transmit, which is a complete nonsense. It would transmit perfectly well.
This is referring to the advent of video cameras with an umbilical cord.
Yes, helical scanned video, which was, of course, appalling quality. It was about 200 lines or whatever on a good day.
But this is cameras with an umbilical link to a portable field recorder.
Yes.
Which the sound recorders used to have to carry.
No, you shoved the whole thing over your shoulder and the camera had a built-in mic. So you were a one-person band. And if you put a sun gun, you know, a basher of some kind on the front, on the top, you could have an illumination as well. So that was the first really portable equipment, single operating portable equipment. And the cameras were very small by comparison. You know, they were the size of a professional video camera now. Anyway, the bottom line was that the BBC engineers said you couldn't transmit it. But then, of course, there was an opinion of the Society of Motion Picture and Television Technicians. There was an opinion of the Society of Motion Picture Technicians in the 30s that you couldn't possibly get an optical soundtrack down the side of 16mm, and Kodak bloody introduced it. I mean, you know, if you ask engineers what's possible, they'll tell you it wasn't. That, I mean, the whole function of standards is repressive. I mean, the Society of Motion Picture Technicians was established in 1915 exactly to maintain the monopoly. The monopolies of 35mm manufacturers and keep people out. They're a barrier to entry. So I think you have to be very careful about getting pissed off because you don't like the quality of something, really.